Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. In this week's podcast, I speak to solicitor Brian McMullen. Originally from Stranraer, Brian has been practicing for 30 years. According to Brian, whose firm opened a new office in Killybegs earlier this year, Brexit and COVID are the two biggest challenges facing the business sector.
Brexit has been on the horizon for quite some time, but we all know that it's actually going to happen now from the 1st of January 2021. It is a major concern for all businesses in terms of how that will work out. Some more than others, businesses that are obviously involved in export or import, it's very significant for them. In relation to COVID, I suppose all businesses have been affected, some severely, and it's really very difficult for a lot of businesses in the current climate. In relation to the effects of both Brexit and COVID, it's really, leaving a situation where perhaps there's more scope for disputes, disagreements in relation to matters. And I suppose it's incumbent and on businesses to actually plan for that and to look at the way in which their agreements with suppliers, with customers, etc. Are there provisions in their agreements to deal with dispute resolution, which is a really important consideration, I would think, at the present time. I suppose in terms of any sort of dispute, the ideal situation and in most minor issues will be sorted out by the parties themselves. It shouldn't involve lawyers at all. And I would certainly encourage that. If there's something that is significant in dispute, then the danger in terms of the parties attempting to sort it out themselves is that their discussions are fully on the record. And, if negotiations could break down at a point where perhaps one party has conceded something and that's not reciprocated by the other party. So in that sort of situation, it's always better to involve the lawyers in the negotiations, because they can speak, what we call without prejudice, off the record. So if there's no agreement, then effectively the meeting never happened and it can't be brought up in court at a later stage. But I suppose the last place that any commercial client of mine should be, as far as I'm concerned, is in court, because it takes such a long time. It's expensive. It's fully in the public domain in terms of publicity and everything else, and the cost of it is very significant. Perhaps the better option, for businesses to look at is mediation, where if the parties and their lawyers are not able to sort it out, then, an independent person will come in and will assist the parties to come to an agreement between themselves. And that's a much better scenario, because it's private, it's fast, and it also has the possibility of the business relationship being maintained into the future, whereas if the parties end up in court, it really is poisonous for the commercial relationship, and there's probably no prospect of them doing business in future. So, really there should be, a dispute resolution clause in agreements, and, the next possibility is, if the mediation doesn't work, then there's an option for what we call arbitration, which is on the basis of arbitration rules. And that's like a sort of a private court. It's in private, and the parties, but it's more formal than mediation, and the arbitrator is an adjudicator, and he or she will make an award. But the advantage of it is we have a very, very strong Arbitration Act in Ireland, and the advantage of it is that once there's an arbitration award made, you can then go to the court and have that effectively converted into a court order. So you can sort of fast-track the whole dispute process to effectively a court order through this sort of private mechanism. So, I certainly would encourage businesses to look at what we call alternative dispute resolution, or ADR, as something that is important for them to look at. But I suppose in terms of COVID, And Brexit businesses at the moment are probably inundated. Their owners may feel, quite swamped with all of the important and urgent things coming at them. And perhaps there isn't a focus or time spent on the important things that are not immediately urgent. And, you know, the sort of things that I think about there are, the key agreements, in relation to the business. Are there partnership agreements? Are there shareholders agreements? Joint venture agreements? Are there third-party agreements with suppliers that need to be reviewed? Are there intellectual property rights that need to be protected? Another point, that perhaps could be easily overlooked at the moment is, are there recoverable debts that could go statute barred, if action isn't taken to recover them? The other thing is that, in terms of fellow directors, are they playing by the rules? Are they playing by the rules in terms of the company's legislation? Are they being compliant? And I suppose one very key issue is to look at, wills. Have you got a will made? Is the will fully up to date? And that's something, when I find that people will say to me, I must make that will, I must call in to see you, and I may not see them again, or they may not raise it with me for some time afterwards. But it's something that, it's like an insurance policy. It's there if you need it, and it's there for the family. And it just means that, certainly in a business context, in a sole trader context, if there is no will, then there will be delays in terms of the administration of the estate. Where there is a will, it means that the executors have power to make decisions immediately, after death. So that's important, in terms of a business and its functioning. But perhaps even more important is what we call an enduring power of attorney. And I suppose we'd all be familiar with a power, the general power of attorney, which is something that you might give a family member or your lawyer a power of attorney to sign documents that you've already approved of. If you're going on holidays, when we're able to go on holidays again abroad, but a general power of attorney becomes invalid if you lose capacity. So if something happens, if there's a sudden medical condition, stroke, or an accident, and you lose capacity, either temporary capacity or long-term capacity. If you're, the decision maker in a business, it could have the effect of paralyzing the business for a period until, matters can be addressed. If you don't have what we call an enduring power of attorney in place, which is a bit more complicated than a will, but it's relatively straightforward. And again, it's like an insurance policy. It means that, people who you trust will immediately step in and will be able to make decisions involving the business, particularly with banks, etc. And if there are immediate decisions to be made, they'll be able to step in and do that. So I think it's important for business owners to consider that. And if you don't have that in place, your family, what they need to do in those circumstances is to make you a ward of court, which is very expensive, and it can take quite some time to actually put that in place. So again, it's important for business owners to look at stuff like that.
So the overall message, Brian, would be for business owners to make sure that their affairs are in order at all times.
Absolutely. And as I say, at the moment, I can understand, that the focus for a lot of businesses is not this, but at the same time,
the lack of certainty is a problem.
Certainty, yeah. Certainty is a key thing in relation to business. You want certainty. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're faced with two issues that are leaving business owners in a situation where, they don't have certainty. In relation to Brexit and relation to COVID, and these are two issues that are coming together, at the same time, and we probably haven't seen something like this for generations.
Just in relation to Brexit, Donegal being a border county, Brian, how prepared do you feel the vast majority of businesses are for Brexit?
Well, you know, I think that the businesses are, you know, are probably reasonably prepared for it, but the specifics of it, you know, because of the uncertainty in terms of how it's going to pan out, perhaps businesses have been leaving it to see exactly, you know, how the agreements work out between the UK and the Republic. So it's probably in terms of the different sectors, maybe some sectors are might be more prepared than others. I think there's a genuine desire amongst businesses to prepare, and I think we probably will see you know, an awful lot more in terms of actual preparation over the next couple of weeks. Of course, this is something that none of us want, but you know, it's a reality now. It's something that we will have to deal with.
Have you found yourself busier as a result of COVID and as a result of the uncommon Brexit situation?
Well, certainly I'm not any less busy. I would think that I'm actually busier at the moment than I have been, you know, for some time. And there is, I suppose, in relation to Brexit, that perhaps for Ireland there might be a bit of positive side to it in relation to its position in Europe, because as you know, the UK is probably the major what we call common law jurisdiction in Europe, in that you know, our laws are made up by statute and also by precedent built up over many generations through the courts. And we inherited that system in Ireland, and I suppose we adapted the system to a certain extent, in that we introduced a written constitution, which the UK doesn't have. But we will now be the only English-speaking common law jurisdiction within Europe. So it is perhaps, and we've seen this, you know, with the amount of investment in Silicon Docks and Dublin, etc., that it's an attractive location for multinationals, particularly American multinationals, to operate in Ireland, and it will be attractive for them to actually conduct a lot of their business through Ireland now rather than the UK. So it is something that perhaps is a bit of a silver lining to the whole thing, but none of us would have wanted this to happen. But I think, you know, there may well be, you know, perhaps more employment in some sectors across the country, not necessarily in Donegal, but there may well be more employment and work as a result of it in the medium to long term, you know.
You've had vast experience, Brian. I think we first came our paths first crossed back in the old courthouse at the top of the Port Road before it was replaced, and obviously they've moved now again to a new courthouse in Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about your practice and about your career.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I mean, I'm 28 years in practice this year. I was apprenticed in Donegal with VP McMullen. The practice was founded by my grandfather. My father succeeded him. And my father was still in practice for a number of years after I qualified. When I qualified, I spent a period working in the Midlands with the firm J.A. Shaw & Co. And I got quite a lot of experience down there. And then I returned back and worked in Letterkenny, Ballybuffet. And then I moved to the Ballyshannon office. So I managed that practice for many years, and I became a partner with VP McMullen. But in 2018, I took over the Ballyshannon practice of VP McMullen, and it now trades under my name. So, you know, we have three solicitors and myself based from the Ballyshannon office with three support staff there. So we cover all of Donegal, Sligo, Mayo, Roscommon, Leitrim, that area, and also in Dublin. We do quite a bit of work in Dublin. So our practice is made up of general practice, and also we act for a number of public bodies.
How many staff do you employ at the minute, Brian, and what size is your team?
Well, you know, the staff at the moment, we have six staff and myself, and that is our team. As I say, we have the solicitors that work with me. Jane Flannery is from Donegal Town. She does mostly wills and probate work. I do more commercial work. David Royston is a solicitor from Sligo. He does conveyancing, some commercial work as well, and public body work. I mean, I would do that as well. Orla Moran, who previously worked with Calentanzi in Sligo, she is based in the head office of Waterways Ireland in Enniskillen. We do the property and legal work for the canal system. So we have a fair spread in terms of the work that we do and the geographical area that we cover. I do work for some of the local authorities in Mayo and Roscommon.
You had success at the Irish Law Awards in 2019, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, we were delighted with that. I mean, that was really the first year after the changeover of the office in Ballyshannon, and we were delighted to be recognised in that way. I was particularly delighted with the shortlisting for the team in Waterways Ireland. We have Orla Moran, as I mentioned, and Caroline McLoon. So that was nice to be recognised in that way. And in fact, for this year, I was asked to be a judge for the Irish Law Awards, but because of the COVID scenario, unfortunately, it now looks as if it may not happen this year. So I think it will be the Law Awards 2021 now at this stage. But I think it's good to have a focus on, you know, the quality within our practice, because, you know, there are really fine practitioners throughout the Northwest, colleagues that I have, and I think it's good that the profession recognises the efforts that people put into the work that we do.
Have you noted much of a change in the sector, Brian? You said you're 28 years qualified, that's 3 decades in law. That's quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there is a change in that the whole computerisation, I suppose, was starting when I qualified in terms of computerised accounts, etc., and the whole word processing was transforming the way in which we produced the work at that stage. That has continued apace, and I mean now, you know, we have case management systems. You know, there is an emphasis on in terms of the work that we do. There's a real emphasis in terms of the quality of the work that we do, and you know, the systems, we put quality systems in place, and in fact, I, along with others, are working on a new quality system or standard for solicitors in the Republic, which is due to be launched next year, and will be provided through the Law Society and will be accredited by the National Standards Authority of Ireland. So that's an exciting development for the profession, and it's something that clients can look to as an indicator of the quality of the services that we provide.
Any key areas that you'd like to elaborate on, Brian, in relation to that plan?
Well, I suppose more than any other sector, there are quality standards that are applicable right across the board in business, and you know, our profession shouldn't be any different to any other sector. You know, I think nowadays people expect the highest standards of the service providers that they engage with. So I think it really, really is important that we as a profession embrace that. And, you know, I firmly believe that the profession is embracing you know, that in terms of the other changes that I would have seen, I suppose the whole change in terms of the way in which the work is produced now, I think we're moving much more to a digital scenario in terms of email, you know, and the work that we produce is more work that we're doing perhaps remotely in different locations, and because of COVID, that has become even more pronounced, because that was the only way in which the work could be produced. And it's a good thing that we're moving away from paper, because paper is hard to manage, and it's much easier to manage documentation in a digital format. And I think the profession, is by and large really keen to move towards that.
Okay. When you're not working, Brian, you have other interests. Talk to me about those.
Well, I suppose I have tried. I started off doing a bit of running many years ago. My wife Julie, she signed us up for a run in Galway, a fundraiser, and from that point, you know, I suppose I started doing the 5Ks and the 10Ks.
You got hooked,
like everybody else, in the half marathons, and I've only done two marathons, but. You know, and then I did a bit in terms of triathlons as well, you know. But I suppose I liked the running. I liked to be able to, you know, leave the office and get a bit of fresh air, or else get a bit of running done in the morning, you know. So I think it's a good outlet, and it's important. I think it's important for anybody that's involved, you know, in business or is in an office environment, to get out and to try and get a bit of fresh air to clear the head, you know, because it's something that is important for everybody.
You organised the first Iron Law event last year, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that sort of came out of nowhere, because I had a discussion with one of my colleagues in Dublin, and we sort of talked about it, maybe an Ironman relay from Donegal to Dublin, and it sort of grew legs, and we once we had it sort of up and running, we had to sort of see how we were going to run it, and the suggestion was that we would involve some of our colleagues from Northern Ireland, so there was a group of three solicitors from Northern Ireland and three from the south, and I was the runner. Stuart Gilhooly, he was a former president of the Law Society, was a cyclist, and another colleague from Drogheda, Ivan Farron, who was a swimmer. So the hope was that we were going to do the swim in Loch Melvin near Bundoran, and then proceed from there. But as it turned out, the water temperature just didn't allow for that, so it was done in the swimming pool in Ballyshannon. But it was a very successful event. Of course, the Northern Ireland people won out because, you know, in terms of the age difference between the two teams, unfortunately, there was a bit of a disparity between the two. So the next event will be very keenly contested. But we ended up raising, I think it was 32,000 for the Solicitors Benevolent Association, which was really
nice thing to do.
Really, really, really worthwhile thing to be able to contribute to.
Your wife, Julie, made the headlines early in the year. I was talking to you about the event she took on. You may tell our listeners about that, Brian.
Yeah, I suppose no more than the staff that we have in the office in Ballyshannon, and the solicitors, and you know, Denise, Margaret, and Caroline McLoone, who work with me. The person who's at home, being Julie, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do if it wasn't for Julie. And she is, whereas I'm very much an amateur in terms of running. Julie does some heavy duty stuff. And she was involved in the race in 2018, and she was the first lady home. And this year, she took on a very arduous run from Mizzenhead to Malin, 618 kilometres. They did it in six days, herself and her friend Loretta Cullen, which was a huge undertaking. It involved running from 6 a.m. until 10 at night. They ran, you know, an hour at a time and took 20-minute breaks right throughout the days on 6 days. And they managed to raise around €36,000 for the Northwest Hospice, the Donegal Hospice and the Irish Cancer Society, which was a fantastic result for them. And they were delighted with the support that they got from everyone, both people who ran with them and most importantly the people that contributed. It was just fantastic, particularly in the whole COVID environment that existed at the time. It was great that you know, that they were able to raise such a large amount of money for the various charities.
Yeah, logistically, it was quite a difficult task, I'm sure, to keep it all together.
It was, yeah. I mean, I was driving a camper van each day, and then there were various members of well, we have four kids, so they were all involved in it at various times, and then there were a lot of friends of Julie's that were involved in it as well. So it was very well organized, but then there were things that happened. We had the storm that happened in August, and that was right in the middle of the run. So, you know, the plan had to adjust slightly in relation to that, but only very slightly, and from a logistical point of view, it took a lot of planning.
Right. A huge effort and a massive amount of money, and well done to both. Brian, finally, what lies ahead for Brian McMullen and his practice for 2021?
Well, I suppose this year, you know, we've opened an office in Kittybegs, and you know, in terms of Donegal, you know, we have Letterkenny, and I've always done quite a bit of work around this area, but in the southwest of the county, you know, I suppose there's a huge contribution that is made economically by the industry surrounding the fishing and maritime production in the Kittybegs area, and you know, I see that as a place where you know, there are legal services required right across the county, but I suppose from a commercial point of view, the centres, Letterkenny, Donegal Town, Buncrana, you know, those centres are, and Ballyshannon, Bundoran, are the areas in which businesses are generally located. And I suppose where I see, you know, our practice is that we want to serve our business clients in whatever way or means that we can. And I suppose the way in which we do business has changed significantly in a very short period of time. You know, back in January, February, really none of us knew much about Zoom. We knew very little about working remotely, whereas now most of my meetings are via Zoom, because that's the way it has to happen. And it doesn't really matter where you're located, you know. The Zoom call, it's a flexible, and Microsoft Teams, there are a number of different platforms, as you know. So that has really changed, and I think we've come on perhaps 10 years and 6 months in terms of our familiarity with using that sort of technology. So I can see that's going to make life very different in terms of the way we do work going forward.
Okay. Brian McMullen, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guest, Brian McMullen. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.